Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs, Season 4, Episode 8. I'm Chris.
And I'm Phil.
And we're just past the halfway point of the season, and Leaf fans, we already know that the Leafs are going to be playing Tampa in the first round of the playoffs. Woohoo! We got another 3 months to go, but before we get into it, I just want to give a happy birthday to Tim Horton, bit belated. Born on January 12, 1930 in Cochrane, Ontario. 4 Stanley Cups with the Leafs, 24 years in the NHL. And I'm also mentioning this because I'm a huge Tim Hortons addict, and I play that, most of the fans maybe out there who love Tim's too, they play that hockey challenge, and I actually got 7 players in a row, and I got now free coffee for the week. So cheers to Tim Hortons.
Woohoo! Congratulations.
Yeah, Sil's not a fan of Tim Hortons. She doesn't drink coffee. So, but anyways, I'm addicted to it. So, but moving back to the game, or to the Leafs, we have 38 games to play. So we're going to start off the show today just with my report on games where I think we should have won. And we basically, at the beginning of the season, I said I'm going to count how many games that I felt like we played down to our opponent and we end up losing. So as of now, for me, we've lost 14 points as a result of playing down to the opponent. We lost to the Sharks, the Habs, the Ducks, Arizona twice. Oh, that's awful. LA, and I'm counting the loss to Seattle as well, even though Seattle is somehow, I don't know, they've just now on their road trip, like they made history because they've won. They won every game on their 7-game road trip, and no team has done that before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, they're on a heater right now, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, 14 points we've lost out of that. We would have been first. We're just looking at the standings with Sil. We would have been in first place overall in the NHL probably right now. Mm-hmm. So
yes, and not playing Tampa in the first round.
Yes. Although being first place in the NHL sometimes is not always that great.
I'm not sure I want that whole President's Trophy thing. It's some kind of weird juju.
Yeah, so Boston right now, the Bruins of course have that. So I don't know, that's a lot of points to give up though, and I'm not impressed with that.
Yes, no, I agree, and let's hope that in the second half, I mean, I think there's going to be more games that are more meaningful heading down into the second half.
Yeah.
So hopefully that helps us a little bit. It's not great that these also seem to kind of come at a time where we weren't really putting our game together so well at the beginning of the season. So let's hope that they can put it together a little better against some of these lesser lights.
Yeah, because we got a game. We got the Senators we got coming up in the next couple of weeks, and we also have the Habs too. So,
yeah, we should beat up on those guys.
We definitely should win those games. But of course, for them, again, that's the whole idea of playing down to the opponent and not getting up for them, because for them, we're the Stanley Cup, basically.
Yeah.
Right. So, but yeah. We'll see. I'll keep a count going for the next half of the season, and we'll go through it again at the end.
We should do like a breakdown too, like to see like if they did kind of turn it around a little bit in the second half, like, you know, kind of compare the two halves of the season to see if there's any improvement. That might be interesting as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah, for sure.
Anyway, on a more positive note, we want to highlight a player that is doing some really incredible things at the Women's Under 18 World Championship. The player's name is Nela Lopusanova. Yeah. Plays for Slovakia. I hope I said that right.
I let Sil have this part.
You give me the tough names all the time. Anyway, she plays for Slovakia. She is only 14 years old, if you can believe it. And she has 9 goals and 3 assists in the tournament so far, and leads the way with her 12 points as of Sunday, which is today. That's the day we are recording this podcast. So that's quite the feat. I actually think that, you know, a lot of the time, the women's game gets a lot of criticism because it's dominated by Canada, USA. And there's a lot of arguments as to whether, you know, some of these other smaller countries, you know, are they really growing the game? Is there really any growth to be seen? I think that this is proof that it's happening. Yeah,
it's finally,
it's maybe, yeah, not as fast as people would like, but you know, when you've got like a phenom like this, playing for Slovakia, that's actually an incredible story.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just hope it, I hope for her. Go ahead.
If only there was a professional league where these women could showcase their talents. Cause right now we only have basically the international games, but this girl, if she could play for, you know, a Toronto, you know, WNHL team.
That
would be pretty cool.
Would make a huge difference. Yeah. Because it's just so funny. Like you're saying, for me, it's just refreshing to see somebody outside of Canada or the US to be on the highlight reel everywhere on Twitter. It was mentioned about her goal. She did the Michigan goal.
Oh, really?
I
did not see that. That's awesome.
That's what everybody,
I need to look that up on YouTube.
Everybody was going on about that for like a couple of days at least. And then the other day on Friday, I think it was because they got knocked out of the tournament, but she scored. Basically, it was the hand-eye coordination. She got the rebound. The puck was in midair, and she managed to put it into the net. Like, after she was, like, going by the net, got her own rebound, which was in the air, and knocked it in. So it was, like, an amazing goal again, right? And so I just hope for her that, like, she continues to progress and
yeah, like, and I
because there's going to be a lot of focus, right, too? Being one of the very few stars outside of Canadian and US women's hockey. So yeah, no, it was fantastic. So we'll see how
I hope she gets the support that is needed, and that there is a place for her to take her game to, which is why there has to be more development around the sport for women in general, because this is where girls are at risk. You know, they get to that 14, 16, you know, close to the end of high school age, and then there's nowhere to take their game.
Right.
So how horrible and sad would it be if you've got this girl who's such a talent, and because she reaches kind of the end of the road because there's no infrastructure.
Yeah.
And she can't continue. That would be horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it would.
You know, if they want to see growth in the game, that's where it needs to happen. They need to basically put infrastructure around so that these girls can continue somewhere, right?
Yeah. And let's hope that happens.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay. So moving on, one other item we want to note is the possibility of the NHL All-Star Game coming to Toronto for 2024. I looked it up, and last time we had it here was in 2000, which actually I'm remembering now. I think it was kind of that they put it in 2000 because it was 99 that we moved from Maple Leaf Gardens to Air Canada Center, right?
Right. Yes, that's right. So they wanted to showcase the arena.
The arena, right? And so that's how we thought of it then. And that's, I think, why they did it back then. But we haven't had it since. So... We actually didn't go, just to let our listeners know, we didn't actually go to the game because it was too expensive. So yeah. We did go to the fan experience, or I did, because Syl wasn't able to because she was having her family at that time. So
yeah,
or I one was, member of her family,
like 8 months pregnant.
Yeah,
with my first son. So
yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, but I remember too, we weren't all excited about it. I don't know. Maybe it was just because we were still in the Maple Leaf Gardens memories sort of thing in that mode. And, but yeah, no, I guess it'll be cool, I guess, for the players that are here, like even especially like Austin Matthews and like Mitch Marner and them. I'm sure that it's just like the NBA players. They like to showcase their own town, basically, right? Like where they play, and that it's a little bit different being the only Canadian team for the Raptors. But yeah, it's been a long time, so it'll be cool.
It would be interesting to see, you know, what they put around it as far as the additional experience and the different things, because they seem to be getting more and more creative all the time. I mean, yeah. We don't have a lovely beach like they're going to have in Florida this time around.
Yes. Yeah.
But definitely the city has a lot to offer. So hopefully they're going to give it its due.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the All-Star Weekend, I actually had to look it up too for this year. It's February 4th is the weekend. And I only just got in. I didn't realize that the fan voting was, it ended last night, like on the 14th of January. So you can't.
I thought I saw something that it is going to the 17th now.
Oh, really? Maybe they didn't get enough votes for me, or they didn't get the people that they wanted voted in.
When I went to log in, it said, come back in 2 hours. So.
No,
I assume I still can.
Because right, we'll see. Yeah, I voted. I put in my vote, so I thought last minute. But anyways, we'll see. And then after that, the Leafs are off for the week. They have their bye week.
That's their bye week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's that time. So we'll see how it is. I don't know.
I'm looking at it now. It says voting ends at 11:59 p.m. on January 17th.
Oh. All right,
so there's still time to get Willie still time. In.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to, on Twitter, it's pretty easy. I don't like it on their website. I can't figure it out. Mm. But
oh, I did figure it out. It is not that intuitive though. I will agree. Like it's, there's a little bit of dragging and dropping that you got to do. And anyway, yeah. I don't like also that I have to go through and I have to vote for all the different conferences. Like,
yeah.
I don't really care about those people. I just want to vote for our guys.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways,
but I did put my votes in for other people, so that's fine.
All right.
Before we get into the show, we also want to give a shout out to our Marlies goaltender, Joseph Wall, who has a 10-game consecutive win streak going. He set a Marlies franchise record for a goalie at 9 games as well. So that's pretty incredible. I am so glad that he's able to be injury free to be able to get this consecutive streak. So that in itself is a huge, huge win.
Yes.
You know, he's still pretty young. I've always kind of felt like, you know, kids that are injury prone, I think it takes a while for them to kind of grow into their bodies. So maybe he's finally getting stronger and it's looking good.
That's a big accomplishment for him. Yeah. Considering
Absolutely.
All the injuries. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So kudos to him.
All right. So now we're going to get the show started with the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then we're going to run the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel. And in our third period segment, we are going to take you behind the scenes of the NHL War Room. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
Bad, the ugly. Okay, so My good. This time I didn't go with an individual player. I went with load management. I'm actually liking that idea of load management. And personally, I do think, I mean, Matthews may have been sick on the Thursday, I guess, in Detroit this past Thursday. But I just think that players like, Matthews is a star. So we just need to protect him a little bit and give him, he probably has something bothering him too. Like everybody gets nicked up, as they say, throughout the season. But I'm thinking more, let's just say, like Mark Giordano. I think he needs some time off. Although last night in Boston, he blocked so many shots. I thought to myself, who would block all those shots if he wasn't there? But I don't know.
That's a good point.
Yeah, like he's definitely very valuable in that way. And he's been playing great for us all season. But the minutes, I think, are adding up for him. And he could do with just one night off. Like it's even if it's a couple of nights. But John Tavares is another one that I think that although he seems to have been lifting up his play the last few games again. I'll give a stat later about JT, but just the idea of the load management. And I actually looked at the schedule too, and starting Tuesday night, once they play the Panthers, they're going to be playing every other night right through to the All-Star weekend. Every other night they're going to have a game. There's no back-to-backs, but every other night, like that's a heavy duty schedule. And I know, like we said off the top, we're playing Tampa, right? Really, the only thing is, I mean, they have three games in hand still on us. So really, it's only about the home ice thing again. Mm-hmm. Home ice didn't really do that much for us last year, as we know, unfortunately. So in my opinion, I'm thinking, does it really, like, not to say it doesn't matter, but do we really want to drive these guys that hard? Now I'm thinking you want them to be ready for the playoffs. So why not give them the break now? Let's just say I'm thinking more actually in February, there's a couple of back-to-backs. We have a back-to-back with Columbus. And then we have a back-to-back February 18th and 19th. We play the Habs and then the Chicago Blackhawks. So in one of those two back-to-backs, like give JT a rest. I mean, even Willie Nylander, like I'm sure like he's been missing practices stuff. So obviously he has something nagging too, but he's been playing phenomenal for the whole season. So yeah, I'm saying load management. I'm a fan. I know they're saying that it's bad for like the way they say in the NBA, you have the fans pay money to see these players, let's just say, right?
Yeah, but at least they do it though. They still do it. You know, that people complain, but they still do it. It's historically, I don't know of any team in the NHL that has actually sat a player out for that reason.
Like to say, you know, and like, to come out and say it that way. Yeah. Like, yeah. Well, like
we're
to
giving him a rest tonight, you know, like it doesn't seem like it's ever been done.
Didn't you think it was funny how, I don't know, I just thought it was awkward, like with Keith and Matthews, the whole situation, like he's like, oh, it's just something nagging him for the Wednesday night game versus Nashville. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like the next day, he's sick. And so then it's like, he's like not feeling well. And then the only thing that I actually thought, once I heard that Pontus Holmberg and Bobby McMahon were sick on the Saturday night versus the Bruins, then I started believing sort of that maybe he was not feeling well that way. But it's just the way he was, just his approach and the way he was talking about it, Sheldon Keefe, it just seemed like he's lying through his teeth. I don't know. It's like, just come on and say it. You're resting him. That's it.
Well, I mean, whatever reason, he definitely had a spring in his step last night against Boston. Yeah. So it did the trick, giving him a little bit of a breather. So, so obviously that leads nicely into my good, which is Austin Matthews. And really it's all about that, the fact that, you know, yes, he missed the two games that you mentioned. But in his last five, he has 6 points and he's just looking really, really good. And I thought he looked the most like his old self on Saturday that he has in a while.
Yeah.
And that goal that he scored was a vintage Matthews goal. And his celebration was definitely looking like his old self celebration.
Yes, that was awesome.
Yeah. So yeah. I thought, I just think that he's just playing so great. You know, on both sides of the puck, he's like a plus player also. He's just got a much more even all-round game. Like, normally he's like top-loaded on the goals, and he's like almost 50-50 goals and assists this year. Slightly more assists, which is unusual for him.
Yeah.
But he has 48 points right now, and if he only – I think we can all agree that to date, he has not played – as spectacularly as we normally expect to see. So
he's not a goal he's not a goal scoring machine like last year.
No,
let's say.
No. Right. So if he only repeats what he's done in this first half, he's still going to end up with 96 points, which is, yes, lower than the 106 he had last year by 10, but still a damn good season. So
yeah. And he's bringing other things into his game to be more complete in the game, which makes up for those 10 extra points. It makes up for it basically
in
all the other things that he's doing. And I really liked how he, I guess versus the Bruins, he actually pointed out how when Wayne Simmonds had the fight, Auston Matthews said after the game too, that really got him going and the bench going. So I don't know. There's something different. There is something different in just the way he's a leader too. You're seeing him become more of a leader on the bench. Like he's wanting.
I agree.
And I did. The only thing I was a bit sad when they did lose and he was like after the game, it was like he was kneeling on his stick basically. And it just looked like, cause they Bruins, obviously probably all of our listeners know out there, they scored like with just over a minute left in the game. And it was just like Auston Matthews was saying to himself, damn, we still couldn't finish them off there, but they played a really good game. But I think he has, he's 21 goals, I think, from what I remember, cause Willie still has 22 goals. And is still the leader there. And then JT Tavares has 20 goals. So he's still he's still doing all the good things that you need to do. And I think Mitch is like all those top four players basically are all contributing the way we need them to.
They're full value this year, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so it actually kind of leads into the bad for me, which is the special teams, because all those players, I don't like that five forward unit on the power play, basically.
I don't either.
I just don't think it's working out well. So, I mean, it's nice. At first, I think Keith was wanting to just have it run for a little while so that maybe in the playoffs, if they need to go to something different, they could. But now it's just they're continuing with this look. And
well, they did switch it up the other night. I can't remember which game was that.
Nashville? Because Nashville, they were horrific because they didn't.
Or was it the Detroit game? I one of the games they did basically throw in the towel on it. And it seemed to be a little bit better after that. The thing that bothers me about it that I don't like is it. It basically takes away Mitch's magic because he has to be a defenseman and a playmaker.
Yeah.
You know? So it's basically limiting him.
Yeah.
You're limiting what he can contribute there because he has, you know, dual responsibilities. And so, yes, he's the quarterback, but at the same time, I think that it shortchanges his game.
Yeah, it gives him more responsibility. Like he is obviously responsible in his own end too, but it just having him back there. Basically, he is the defenseman. And I was looking at the stats basically as of today, Sunday, when we're recording, we're ninth on the power play at, in ninth spot in the league, 24.6%. Tampa is in second at 29%. Boston is in fourth. So we really, to me, like those, well, those two teams have games in hand on us, obviously, but I think we need to be a little bit closer to those teams up like in the top five, as opposed to being in the bottom, like in the like ninth place in the, on the power play. And then on the PK and the power play too, I mean, you really noticed it when Matthews was missing. That was the one thing on those two games versus Nashville and Detroit. Like our, like we needed when on, I think it was Nashville, we had the double minor for the high sticking on Riley, and we needed that full 4 minutes to score because his nothing was going right. And then on the PK, we're actually in 17th. I actually didn't think we were that bad, but I mean, we're like right.
We've dropped a little bit.
Yeah, we've dropped a little bit. And so it's 78.5%. Boston is number one, of course, at 85, and Tampa is ninth at 81.3%. So I don't know. I guess I don't want to get this mixed up. Yes, it is Spencer Carberry. I wrote it down because one of our previous shows we were talking about the assistant coaches and we couldn't remember their names, I think. So I wrote it down this time. But I don't know, there needs to be something else from the coaching staff to just go back to putting Riley on there too, because I think it'll give him more. Something's wrong with Morgan Riley, let's just say, since coming back, right? So, which is what we're, Scylla is next up with that. But before we get there, I think his confidence, he needs that for his confidence, I think, too. He needs to be on the power play and manning the point there. So, yeah. And, yeah, you go into your bad from there since I just walked into
you,
that one.
You pretty much stole my thunder there. Yeah, so my bad in this case is Morgan Riley. Now I know that he's just still coming back off of an injury. With a leg injury too, especially knee, that's tough because you know, you can't skate as much, right? So
maybe he should really get maybe he should get some of those pants that Giordano's wearing, those recovery pants.
The recovery pants? Yeah, that probably would help. But yeah, but even with that, though, like he has had definitely a slow start to the year. He only has 2 points in his last five games, so like since coming back, and like no goals at all yet this season as well.
Last couple of games, I think he's been trying to press it to try and score. Yeah.
Yeah. He's only got 19 points so far this season. And he's like a minus player for like the first time in like 5 or 6 years now. So the last time he was a minus at all was like 2017, 2018 season. And he's basically been pretty much double digits since then. So, but I was reading some things about in, I think it was in our comments on our Facebook page, and some people are making some good points about, you know, why would they decide to pair Timmins and Riley in a game like they did last night in Boston, which I think that is an excellent point. Like was last night the night to experiment with that?
What I was going to say with Sheldon Keefe. Like I'm blaming him a little bit there too, because
how do you think
Connor Timmins is going to be on the number one? That's a number one pairing. Basically anybody with Morgan Riley is the number one pairing. You're going to get the toughest minutes. You're saying that Connor Timmins is ready for that?
No. Yeah. And like you're kind of undermining both of those guys because Riley's confidence isn't at his highest. And now you basically, you know, Connor Timmins' confidence is going to be a little shot because you put him in a position that is really not, you know, going to help him succeed. Yeah. He's not ready for that
he's
yet.
He's not ready for that
Maybe yet. I guess they wanted to find out, is he ready for the prime time, showtime minutes? But anyway.
We're missing, bottom line issue is we're missing TJ Brody.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, hugely.
We definitely need him back. So and hopefully.
Morgan Riley's missing him.
He needs him. Yes. So yeah. I believe that he will get his confidence back, but right now he definitely is struggling. He's like still a little step behind. That always makes you as a defenseman make, you know, mistakes.
Yeah.
When your timing is off and you're just not quite at that game pace yet. So, yeah. So basically, Morgan not playing so great, but I do believe that he will turn things around.
Yeah, and we will still take him on that tour of Maple Leaf Gardens if he's up to it. Maybe that'll turn things around for him. But also another great point that one of our Facebook followers mentioned, Ron Ashley. He mentioned that the problems start on the D when you start switching the pairings due to the injuries, which is true. Mm-hmm. We've said this before. Defensemen, they like to have their partner, like, consistency sort of thing, right? But this year, because of all the injuries, and with Jake Muzzin a huge part of it, like that, it's just a problem. Basically, it's a problem at that point. And we did well for those, like, November, December, but it's now that they're coming back, these players from injury, it's a tough go. But as we said, hopefully it can only get better once TJ Brody comes back. We're not putting any pressure on him, but all right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now the ugly. Geez, I don't know. I got to look back and see how many times the refs come up here, but yeah, I'm going with the referees once again. They're on a 3-game streak right now. So that game versus Nashville, and then the game versus the Wings, the Red Wings, and then last night's game versus the Boston Bruins. I'm just going to list through. I actually wrote them down here of all the different plays that they missed. So the big one in the Preds game was Niederreiter basically skating right into David Kampf's head. And it was like a wide open ice. It's like he blatantly did that and did not get a penalty. And I was just like, how he got away with that, I have no idea. So that was number one. Then versus the Wings, Michael Bunting gets cross-checked in the face by Ben Chiarot. And then Chiarot dumps Nylander in the corner and gives him a shot in the head for good measure with his glove. No penalty. And then versus the Bruins, there was quite a few. Allmark, I still think he threw his stick. I don't care what Kelly Rudy said on Hockey in Canada.
With even if he didn't purposely throw it in Marner's direction, if you have to be in control of your stick when you're on the, as a forward,
yes,
and even if you by accident clip somebody,
yeah,
that's a penalty. So yeah, this should still be a penalty because you should be in control of your stick and it shouldn't go flying halfway across the rink.
And I believe that was the play
because
where
it does impede
Boston,
the play.
Boston actually went back down.
Yes, they did.
And scored.
Yeah. And scored.
Yeah, because he made the spectacular save. I mean, Allmark had a great game. That's fine, but he should have gotten a penalty, and the play should have been stopped. And then, of course, there was Taylor Hall's dive where he toe picked, and Mitch got the penalty on it. But he didn't. He basically dived. It should have been 2 minutes for diving. And I thought it was funny. Whoever it was, I don't know. I think it was Chris Cuthbert that said, I guess he's not being like Taylor Hall's not being like Kale McCarr and say, sorry, it didn't happen. Sorry, I kind of just fell myself. Sorry. No, I guess Taylor Hall is not that kind of guy. And then, of course, leading into my other ugly on the side here, our friend, Mr. Brad Marchand, basically cross-checks Sandin in close to the face. It was upper body. But I just laugh at Brad Marchand now because, I mean, I got to read this. Like, he's saying now all of a sudden the Leafs are wonderful. So I have to find it here while I'm talking about Brad Marchand because this is ridiculous with his.
Yes, it's his gamesmanship, you know?
Yeah. And he's just so annoying with that voice. I just can't stand him. I'm just like, I've had enough of him. And now all of a sudden he's saying this, it's coming here. I say, that's way, here it is on the Maple Leafs. They've brought in some D that are much more defensively responsible. Woohoo. Thanks. Thanks there, Marshy. And they're harder to play against, a little more physical, a little bigger. So they're definitely improving. They're a legit contender this year.
How patronizing is that, first of all, that they're improving?
Yes.
Like, we've been, last year we were ahead of them in the standings, as I recall.
Yeah.
So we've basically been kind of almost neck and neck with them for most of the season.
Yeah.
I know. What the hell is he talking about? I just thought that last part, they're improving.
Yeah, they're improving.
It's gee, like, thanks. What, are we like a bottom feeder? Like, is he talking about us or the Montreal Canadiens? Like, you know, it's like, yeah. Oh God, I don't know.
He's
even
very annoying. Anyhow, yeah. So those are my uglies for this show. What's your ugly?
That's pretty good. So basically going with that whole Boston theme, because obviously it's a little bit of recency bias, because I think we can all both agree that that was the biggest game of the week.
Yes. Yeah.
And one we are looking forward to for a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though like in November we beat them, that was such a great feeling. You know, you sort of forget that when you lose, especially in the fashion that we lost. And I know they played, actually, the Leafs played a great game, a really good road game last night. We did dominate the play and had really good possession for most of the night. Like you said, Allmark had a great game. But it's the way we lose to them that just leaves this ugly feeling in me.
Yeah,
that it just lingers, and I know I'll get over it because it's you know, it's
the regular season
out of 81. It's a regular season.
Yeah,
but I hate losing to these guys for all the reasons that you mentioned just a few minutes ago.
Just a minute. Yeah,
you know, and I hate that any little mistake that we made is ending up in our net, and in the last 5 minutes, like, I don't know how many times you have to play this team, because even with the new coach, this part hasn't changed. The last 5 minutes of the game against these guys, you have to be absolutely big time alert.
Yes.
Because that is where they just, I don't know, they have some magic in that last 5 minutes that they just can turn a game around and beat you like they did in the last under 2 minutes.
Yeah. And right? I mean, that winning goal, like, it was basically a core, and it always ends up happening. Like, the guy, whoever it was, like Grizzlick or Matt Grizzlick, I think it was, it's his first goal in like 32 games. Like, it's always like that when it happens for us, right? It's always some no name player or lower end player, let's just say. Like, he's just like a grit grinder kind of player who hasn't scored in like 50 games. Like, and that's just the annoying part of it. And how you, and like you said too, it's the turnovers that I believe it was, Tavares owned, both Tavares and Morgan Riley, they own their mistakes from last night. Mm-hmm. Like, they came out and said, like, they both need to be better and that. And that's fine, but then just do it. And like you said, in the last five minutes,
be freaking better.
Be the best you can against that team, because they're going to burn you. And they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's enough of the ugly and harping on the Bruins.
I don't want to give them any more time. So let's move on.
Yeah. So, but before we get into our highlight reel segment, just a quick reminder on our YouTube channel that we do have highlights of games that we've attended at Scotiabank Arena. Our handle is at LTL1917. So check it out and subscribe to our channel, because there'll be other stuff on there too coming shortly. And now let's roll who made this edition of our Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel.
Okay, so coming in at number three, we have Ilya Samsonov versus the Wings in Detroit. He had a great save on Adam Ernie, sliding to his right and making a blocker save, taking away what was going to be a sure goal. Yeah, he had a really good game that night.
Yeah, he played. He seems to have turned it around. Like both him and Murray. Murray had played really well on the Wednesday night versus the Predators too. So, but I actually felt sorry for Samsonov on the Thursday because he did play so well. And, and the fact that we couldn't get anything going on the power play, we were just tired. We looked tired that night. And it was his turn to play, and he had made not only that save, but he made a couple other fantastic saves and in a losing cause. And, but yeah, that save like was unbelievable on Adam Ernie. Like it was basically Ernie just had to get it up just a little bit. I think it would have gone past him, but he was covering a lot of that side of the net to slide over there. So that was a good one. And number two, let's go to number two now. Austin Matthews, who we've already spoken about this play, still did a little bit versus the Bruins. And I like this word that I forget where I saw it, but it was funny. I laughed. It was a preposterous goal.
Yeah, that's from Tim Hortons' line.
Yeah, speaking of Tim Hortons, right? Preposterous. Right. Yes. So he basically, it was a beautiful play that he made, taking it from the D zone, knocking down the puck to clear the zone, and then catching up to the play and doing a backhand forehand move up and under the bar past Allmark. Like that was just,
I don't even
insane.
Know how he got that in. Like I had to watch it a few times.
Yeah.
To like, yes. Yeah. It was vintage Matthews.
Yeah, vintage cool. Matthews, preposterous, filthy. I don't know what else. I don't know what beautiful. Else we could say about it, but it was beautiful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so in our number one spot, we have another sharpshooter, Willie Nylander versus the Predators. And on the game-winning goal, he did a beautiful sell job of a shot and passed it over to Marner, who had the wide-open net to shoot at and made no mistake. He definitely, you know, I mean, obviously, Willie, you have to respect him as a shooter. And he totally faked out the goaltender, and basically Marner was wide open.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was beautiful.
I thought it was just insane the way he met it. Cause you see Saros, the goalie for the Predators.
Yeah.
He was playing fantastic that night. And I thought he was going to catch it on Marner. Like he like basically jumped across the net to try and save it, but it wasn't to be for him. And cause he was just too far. He basically gave in to, he got sucked in basically to Nylander selling the shot. And Willie actually hasn't scored in six games, which I was like, I had to look at that twice. So I was like, really? And he's still leading the team in goals 22-1, but still he had to play center too that night. So, and in Detroit too. So it's an adjustment for him. I think he'd played pretty well considering. And but that was a beautiful play.
I actually think it's good for his game every now and again for him to get some time at center as well. Even though, I mean, like you said, there is an adjustment, but I think it's a little bit of a different mindset. And I don't know, for a guy who's as creative as him, I just think that it's probably, you know, kind of reminds him of some, you know, other things that he can continue to add, right?
Yeah, and improve and also in the playoffs, like you never know what might happen, 100%. Right? When it comes to injuries.
It's good to have him ready.
Yeah.
Good to have him ready.
Yeah.
All right. So back in November, Chris had the opportunity to visit the NHL offices here in Toronto. And in our third period segment, we're going to tell you a little bit about what goes on in the NHL's war room.
Right. So the third period, this was amazing. This was back in November, like Sil said, and we mentioned it on our social media channels, and we're finally getting the time to talk about it. But we want to first First off, thank Rod Pasma, VP Operations for the NHL, for taking the time to give us the tour of the NHL offices in Toronto, and to hockey researcher and hockey historian Paul Patsku for organizing and inviting us to the tour. Paul is also, I guess, the leader in the Hockey Time Machine that's on YouTube. If the listeners want to go and check it out, he does a lot with the NHL alumni and the Leafs alumni. So, yeah. And before I even get into the War Room, actually, I have to tell you that it felt a little surreal to be there and walking through the office with the photos of the main highlight going into the office is the photos of the top 100 NHL players in NHL history lining the hallways. And they even have, apparently they actually pulled out the stall, Wayne Gretzky's stall from MSG. They pulled it out, and that's the actual stall that's there in the NHL offices with his stick and gloves. And yeah, I was like, wow. I was like, it was encased, obviously. You couldn't touch it or anything, but it's like a little museum piece there. But I was just like, wow, you actually pulled it out. I couldn't think of that. But yeah, no. And then just the photos, they're like paintings on the wall of every individual of the 100 greatest players, like that. As we were cool. walking by there, I was just like, I was floored. I don't know. I thought, wow. I thought, how am I here? But anyhow, luckily I made it. So, yeah. Tell us a bit about the operation.
So, the War Room itself is quite an operation. So there are four main people that manage the room on game nights. And I found it really interesting that they were saying that over the last 4 years or so, they have several retired referees that now are part of their game crew.
They should come out of retirement.
So that's also so cool because they actually have, like, you know, refs. They did say that everybody in there has, you know, some more kind of elite hockey experience, whether or not it's like playing in NCAA at least, or some NHL, former NHL players, you know, some East Coast Hockey League, maybe, like, they're basically have played professionally or at a high level. And also the referees that also are involved. They have 5 100-inch televisions that is kind of across the front of the room.
Are you gonna tell them what I thought?
You might as well. I thought it was 500-inch TVs, but it's actually 5 100-inch TVs. But it's interesting that if there are more than 8 games going on, each TV can be divided into 4, so they can watch multiple games. You know, kind of picture in picture that way.
So Saturday nights, basically. Yeah, Saturday night things.
They have 18 camera angles, and 3 of those cameras are dedicated to the net. The War Room itself feeds the refs the video that they watch on the iPad when they're making a review on the ice. And they have what they call loggers for every game. These are the guys that are saying that, you know, have been hired that have, you know, previous hockey experience, and they watch for things like any coaches' challenges, major penalties, and pucks crossing the goal line, or you know, offside calls, and the like.
Yeah. So, yeah, to me, when I was listening to Rod, I guess, describe how it worked, it was just like it is a team, definitely, there, that they need everybody working together. Like you're saying, there's so many different people that are, like, either managing, and then the referees putting their input in, and the loggers, and there's also, like, a social media team. So when we see that, I guess, the description that comes out, why the call was made, they're involved there too, and they have to get approved by those 4 managing people that are in the War Room before they actually put it out on social media to say why the call was made that way. And then also I found it interesting too, the fact that they work in real time, they said. So if a manager call, they can actually, a general manager like Kyle Dubas or whoever in the league can call the War Room or text them or email them and say, why did you make that decision? Like they can do it right then and there, and they answer them right away to say why it was whether it be the offside rule or the coach's challenge or whatever it was. If that GM wants more of an explanation, they do it right then and there. And then I also thought it was interesting, I guess, with Colin Campbell, who's the executive VP and director of hockey ops for the NHL. He kind of oversees everything there. He even has his own, I guess he's in a separate area, but
he's like the eye in the sky.
Yeah, because there's like microphones apparently in the room. So if he wants to get a say into some play that was, it's probably more so in the playoffs, I would think, when that would happen. But whenever it does, he can actually come in on the microphones and actually point out something if he wants to. So yeah, it's a total team effort there. And it was just fantastic to see how it works. They call it the war room. Some people call it the situation room. And also another thing that they pointed out too was that, which I didn't know, the NHL was the first professional sports league to have a centralized video. Yeah.
I was going to mention that, like when I was, you know, watching the highlights of all the great video that you took of this, cause I was unable to attend. That's the thing that really struck me, that they are the first league to do this, and that they had like that, the NFL, the NBA, all these other leagues that have now adopted this system. Basically came through there to, you know, figure out how they were going to do this themselves.
Yeah.
So yeah, they've all, that's so cool.
Yeah. And they've all done it. Like the Major League Baseball as well went through there. There's European leagues that have gone through there, and they've all basically done their own thing now, obviously each of these leagues. But it's because the NHL started it all, back in about, I believe it was, it might be 13 or 14 years. They've been in this location in Scotiabank, or it's next door to Scotiabank Arena. They've been there for about 11 years, the war room. So that was really interesting point that he made. And the other thing is that he mentioned too, is like technology is always evolving, and I'm definitely not technological.
Wanted to ask you about this.
Yeah.
I wanted to know if you could elaborate a little bit on what he said, because they were talking a little bit about sensors potentially.
That was the thing in the puck they wanted to, think they actually tested this out from what I remember. They wanted to, because what they're wanting to do is to get a even better way of like seeing when the puck crosses the line or the offside part of it. I know it's a lot to do with the player's skate, but to even with the puck, but I think they did it. I don't know if it was last year or the year before when they were in the bubble, and it didn't work because the puck was not, like it just didn't feel the same or something. The players were complaining about it, but they put like sensors in the ice, and the puck has a sensor as well.
Yeah.
And that's where it basically picks up the feed on the video in the war room from those sensors that are planted in the ice, but it didn't work. I'm sure they tried it. He didn't actually mention it in the, in the tour, but I can't recall. I think it was in the bubble that they tried this. And I remember the players complaining about it, but that's the type of they're trying to improve that. Like they want to get there.
They'll figure out something. It's like, you got to start with something, and then you tweak it and you get new ideas off of that. So no doubt that's coming. Anyways, I found that kind of interesting as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was great, really appreciative. I was like, to be able to be in there, and like, because I mean, like the way we'll put some video or some pictures on social media, a little bit of it on our social media, you can have a listen. But when he actually said, you know, when you see the referee saying, or when you hear the, I guess on TV, the announcers say like they're going to the situation room, and the referees put the headset on and they have their tablet there. And then he says, this is where they are. And I was like floored. Like I was like, how am I there kind of thing? Right. Chris King was actually there too, an alumni. Mm-hmm. member while we were there. And yeah, it was an awesome experience. I wish Syl could have been there, but she wasn't there on that time. But hopefully we'll have another chance to go there again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would be really cool.
Yeah. So yeah, if you have any questions about that, you can, well, once we post something on social media, if you want to make a comment, we'll get back to you on that. And yeah, so let's get into the upcoming games now that we have for the Leafs. So this week, we're going to see the Florida Panthers for the first time. Woohoo! They're not doing too so well this year. And then we play the Jets on Thursday at home. And then before heading, we go to Montreal for the Saturday night game at the Bell Center. And that's always a good game, even if the Habs are garbage, basically, as they always tend to get up to play us. So that's one of those games that we should win.
That's for sure. And then the following week, we have a lot of home games. We play both New York teams, so Islanders on the 23rd, Rangers on the 25th. And then on Friday, we play the Ottawa Senators, who, again, we haven't played in, like, I don't know, since the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And we end the week with a Sunday night game at home versus the Washington Capitals.
Yeah. So, and that Islanders game, that's the winner of our Merry Leafy giveaway, Katerina Nishik. Yeah, she's so going to enjoy that.
Yeah. Can't wait to hear how she enjoyed it. And then I hope that they get a win for her.
Yeah. And then the Jets game, I think, is going to be an interesting one. It's funny. They're really playing well this season with their coaching change and everything. I don't know. They've seemed to.
Yeah, kind of started out a little slow, but Rick Bonus seems to have worked his magic.
But and then the Rangers is also going to be a big game the following week with Igor Shesterkin. He's playing better these days, apparently, I think. And and then, of course, seeing the Capitals at the end, seeing Ovi is always an exciting game as he keeps going to.
It's almost Metropolitan Division week.
Yes. Yeah.
Except for the Senators there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, it's going to be a good one. And like we said, but with the Habs, I mean, they always get, I'm going to say it now so that maybe Josh Anderson will, like, I don't know, he'll just be horrible that night because he's the equivalent of the person that I can't stand there. Let's say equivalent close to Brad Marchand, but not quite. But anyway, it all starts every other night, starting Tuesday night, we'll be playing until February 3rd.
They definitely, there's games to be had in this roundup. So they should. The Rangers game is the one that I'm kind of most looking forward to because of how it went down when we played in New York.
Yeah.
And I just find that they're a tough game for us for whatever reason. So I'm looking forward to seeing how we bounce back against them this time.
Yeah, so it's going to be a busy one. And to keep on top of it, follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Our handle, again, is at LTL1917. And a reminder, if you can, to leave us a rating or a review and let us know what you think of the show. It's easy, very easy on Apple and Spotify, and it's important for our show to get more exposure as a source for Leaf content. And we thank you for taking the time. You can also DM us or just send us an email to at ladiestalkingleafs@gmail.com.
And another way to help us out is by visiting our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can support us by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. So you can find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
And we want to thank our healthcare workers, as always, and first responders for everything that they do. Thank you.
And we thank you, as always, for listening. And until next time, go Leafs, go! Go.
Believe.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.